Why did he not have the spirit of David? The summary of the reason is called David. The son of David did not have the spirit of David because David did not impart the spirit of David to the son of David. His younger brother was Adonijah. And concerning that also, we heard that not once did his father ever say to him, why did you do this? His father had never corrected him. Why did Adonijah not have the spirit of David? The summary of the reason is called David. That one, he entered into trouble. His brother had to kill him eventually. For treason. For plotting against the throne. I hope you are getting my point. Yes, David understood all of these things. The last born, the little boy Solomon, was a place where he did not make that mistake again. I dare to say it was a bit too late anyway. And that's why you read the first few Proverbs of the chapters of the Proverbs of Solomon. They were the Proverbs of David, not the Proverbs of Solomon. We know simply because Solomon will say, when I was a young boy, my father used to say, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Those were the Proverbs of David. And I read Bollinger explain it, that it was like David organized a school to train the boy, that as he passed the spirit of David, he had to pass the spirit of David into Solomon. And talking about praying, so when you are praying for your children, you know, these are the things you are talking about. Because whether you like it or not, these are the things we do. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We do them by prayer. So Ephesians chapter 1 prayer, Colossians chapter 1 prayer, we pray them for our children too, that God will open their eyes. He will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of the understanding will be enlightened, so they may imbibe the spirit of blessing that is inside us. Very important. David took time out to pour that spirit into Solomon, and that was the reason why Solomon could carry that throne. Don't be blessed and then send your children away to go and enjoy the blessing. You are ruining them. The commonest lie you hear from the mouth of successful people is, I don't want my children to pass through what I passed through. Listen, there's only one reason they will not pass through that. If you make sure that at home they pass through it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, at home they will sit down and understand. Every lesson you learned while passing through, you must pass it to them. And if they don't get that lesson, they have to go and pass through it. That is it. Otherwise, that blessing, they will never carry it. It will ruin them. Every lesson, I explain the principle, that in all your experiences, what God is doing is to drive a spirit into you. That experience, I like one thing Oswald Chambers said once. He asked a question and he answered it, of course. He said, were the sufferings of Jacob necessary for him to inherit the blessing? He said, no. He said, but for Jacob to inherit the blessing, he had to suffer. Now, when the first says, you know, what are you talking about? What he was saying is this. The blessing was not tied to suffering. But because Jacob wouldn't learn the lesson without suffering, he had to suffer. Are you getting my point? That's what he was trying to say. That the sufferings of Jacob, those sufferings were not necessary for the coming of the blessing. He said, but for Jacob, the character of that supplanter, to receive that blessing, he had to be broken by those sufferings. Therefore, you didn't see Isaac go through those same things. And it was the same blessing that was flowing. You are getting what I'm going to explain? That whichever way, those children must get that spirit. You don't want them to suffer the way you did, there's no trouble. They must learn the lesson you learned. If they don't learn it by suffering, they will learn it by instruction and miniature suffering. You know what they call miniature suffering? At home, they will suffer very early. They get up very early. They deviate, they get corrected. You know what I'm saying? So they will not get, but then that lesson, they must get it. But many times parents don't understand it. You send the child to go and enjoy the things you suffered for
without him getting the Spirit, and you're wondering why the wealth will not pass down the generations. It can't. Because the wealth is not the important thing. It is the Spirit. And that was why Jacob could generate the wealth even though his father gave him nothing. Yes. By the time he left home, his father didn't give him anything. He ran. But that blessing went with him. That blessing went with him. And as his character was being refined through his sufferings, God sharpened him, and the man returned with a great blessing. That is a mistake. That is a lie that a lot of successful people tell themselves and thereby put their children at a great disadvantage, thinking that they are helping those people. You cannot take the Spirit away from your children and you think they will be as successful as you were or become more successful than you. Don't lie to yourself. It is crucial that you pour that Spirit into them. You pour that Spirit into them by prayer. You pour into them by instruction. Very, very important. You teach them at home regularly. What you give to your children more than anything after, number one, you ensure they are born in Zion. Number two, you must pour the Spirit of the blessing into them. That's what I'm talking about. And listen, this is beyond, remember, this is different from sustaining with grain and with new wine. We've talked about that. But you see, no matter how much you bless somebody, there is always something they do outwardly that pulls that blessing from whatever is hiding to come and manifest. That's why Abraham had the blessing. But God said to him clearly, except your children learn the way of the Lord in doing righteousness and justice, they won't experience it. Therefore, that we I have sustained you with new wine, with grain and with new wine. All right? That's there. It's yours. What's the next thing? The next thing now is, oh boy, this is how Christians behave. When God blesses them, this is how they behave. This is how they give God the glory. When they are cheated, this is how they respond. When people speak evil against them, this is how they respond. No, an eye for an eye. No, not here. This is how, you start teaching them. You start telling them stories. Stories, you know. Sometimes my mother and I will be talking, you know. My mother is much older than me. I mean, you should be able to guess that. Yes, sometimes when we are talking, she'll say, you are right. So true. Why? Testimonies. Just testimonies. So many of the things she feared for, you know, that is concerning me. You know, one of the blessings God has given me, all right, is that both my parents, my mother now, and my parents-in-law, you know, they were the, you know, elders, they are watching what they are doing. Sometimes they think, of course, I told that being strange was a reputation I acquired very early in life, that this boy is not normal, he doesn't behave like every other person. And as soon as I married my wife, I spoiled her too. So her parents also looked at us and said, these children are queer. The things people would jump at, say, good. My wife would disdain. You know, I told the story, in fact, at the beginning of this, I told you about it. She was pregnant. Were you going to have your child in UK? I always said, when will I come back? The following week, they said, no. Stay for a few months? Nah. No, just disdain, like, it's not a big deal. Sorry. Ain't going to have any baby anywhere. My husband won't see this. For her, the husband will see this baby while it's still hot. My mother-in-law looked at her and said, you people are strange. It's a good testimony. May you be strange in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm telling you. Now, but this is what I'm talking about. It. Years have passed now. I've heard them testify. My own parents, my parents-in-law, and you know that they say, men, essentially, you children are wise. That is, I'm summarizing it. Thank God for this thing that you did. Thank God that you think like this. They are seeing the result. Yes. Now, there's a reason I'm talking about that. As at now, I mean, this was just, my mother is in my home right now. This was a few nights ago. We're just telling stories. We're having a good laugh about then when things were like this, then I did like this. And I told that once. When I was posted to Taraba State by NYC, That was the first time any human being on this earth was being posted to Taraba State, because I was the first set of coppers. I was with the first set of coppers that went to Taraba. Taraba State was created before I was mobilized for NYS. My mother had never heard of Taraba, actually. Not a joke. If she heard it, it blew past. They created the state just a few months before that. I was mobilized for NYC in 1992, all right? Quite some time ago. Taraba State was hot and fresh. So I went home that day. My mother said, "Where were you posted?" I said, "Taraba State." She was weak instantly. Her knee sagged. First question is, where is that? That was her first question. I said, "It's from Old Gongola State." For those of you who are too young, Taraba and Adamawa were one state called Gongola. They're split into two. We now have Adamawa, Yola, and Taraba, Jalingo. All right? So that is it. What are we going to do now? She sat down. She was weak. Her voice almost trembling. What are we going to do? I said, "What are we going to do?" Well, I am going to go inside. I'm going to get me a bag. I'm going to pack my things. And I'm going off to NYC camp. And I'm going, and God is going to make me very rich. And what about, I said, "Mommy, please, the G's done day too long. Let me go and pack. I have to get down to camp." I told the day I returned, in fact, she and some of my siblings were going out, and as I just came out of the gate of the house, I was walking down the street. When she saw me, she fell into the grass there. You understand? She was so great. She had not seen me in 1 month. Went for camp, went to my primary assignment, came back. She had not seen. No, these were not the days of hello, 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 free midnight calls. There was nothing like that. You left your child off, God, watch him. His angel is standing before your throne. Tell the angel to report regularly. Now, why I like to tell you once in a while is that years later, when they were talking, she said, "You have a way of putting people's minds at rest." She said, "I still remember the day you were going for NYSC. I was so troubled and concerned. You just dismissed it, told me you were packing your bag and going." She said, "You have a way of putting people's minds at rest." Are you getting my point? Just by the way, stick with truth. Are you getting my point? God will vindicate you later. What I'm saying all of this is that, in my little life now, I have a lot of stories to tell about the faithfulness of God. We're talking about children, not mothers. This is my challenge. Tell those same stories to children. That's what I'm trying to explain. Tell those same stories to children. I think we often make a mistake in life. We don't talk enough to our children. We hand them instructions, we talk to them, we instruct them, but to tell godly stories to the next generation, we don't do it. But we read the Psalms. That was one of the things David ensured that he did. I suppose when he saw the other boys, he didn't learn it. He had to tell it to the other ones. And he now commanded all of us that the next generation might hear it. You will have to. No, I like my alumni fellowship now, because some of our brethren used to emphasize that, look, come with your children. I think I didn't grasp it myself as much, though my children will come, you understand? But I think now I'm getting to understand. Drag them down. And I come and see the kind of people you interact with. You get my point? Yes, drag them down. That's what some of our brethren have been emphasizing. Where are your children? Bring them. Initially, I felt like, look, it's a lot of trouble. What are they going to gain? It's now I'm understanding. Even though my children will come, as they were getting older, all of us were coming. But now I'm even understanding it more. It's not just about, it's not a social gathering, it's a spiritual gathering. These children must imbibe the spirit. Oh, Christians forget. Maybe they don't believe enough. They spend money. "Where's your son going to school?" And we're trying to arrange whether we can settle him in Princeton, MIT. We use, Now, this is what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching against those things. Please, you understand my point? In themselves. I'm preaching against the wrong priorities. If I ask, when he's in Princeton, which fellowship will he attend? It has never crossed the parents' mind. Never. 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 It has never. Parents, they've never thought about it. All they just know is that he's going to Princeton. When they ask the pastor in church, man of God, where are your children? They are in Princeton. Praise God. Prosperity, you know. The Bible says he will sustain us with new wine. And we think it's prosperity. And God said, you think you are rich. You don't understand that you are poor, wretched, blind, and naked. I gave you money. What have you done with it? You have used it to export your children away from where I can pour the spirit of blessing into them. And you are not even aware. Listen, if I have to make my choice, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding about it. He says, as we go on strike, if you are eunuch, when they finish strike, they will come back. Please, I'm not saying good education is bad. I'm saying it's inferior to sound spiritual training. That's what I'm saying. If you say, no, daddy, I'm by force, and I feel like you are right, you must go to that prince. No problem. You will go, but you will wait. Next 2 years, no school. Shebi, now you don't want to go where else? No, Hala. Next 2 years, no school. Me and you, they drive around, they preach together. And in 2 years, when I'm sure you can go there and start a fellowship, then you can go. Or finally, when I locate a good place where the world, not just somebody who will check on your welfare. No. You understand what I'm going to explain? I talk like this because I have to preach and call it. Bible, the word of God is profitable for correction. We need to be corrected. Many of us, we have so prospered that our prosperity is not the problem. We have taken the name of the Lord and given to a vain thing. Then we'll discuss that. Take the name of the Lord, give to, because of prosperity. Because we have become so rich. We've set our priorities wrongly. What is the thing you give to bless your children? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. They have to be regularly trained, deliberately. Tell them stories. Let them know there was a time you were sick and you are taking all medicines, nothing worked. Then finally you remembered, your wife and you remember that you had not prayed. And you prayed. And do you know, in 3 days you were up and about going about your business. Isn't the Lord good? Let them hear the testimony. Don't come to church to speak Christianese alone. Praise the Lord. Not only that one. With your children, you can't do praise the Lord. You understand my point? It is pouring that spirit. It must be deliberate. With that, you are pouring, you are putting down a substance for the next generation. That's what I'm trying to make. This other one I wanted to say, I'm just watching my time now, so let me quickly drop that one in and I will close. But I just feel like I don't need to emphasize it too much. I think it's already clear. I'll say the thing that's most important for today, and then we can close the series here. And that's the fact that don't ever forget, without praying for your children, without teaching them anything, without doing anything, just your life now is affecting them. I just need to say that again. In fact, let's just read this one, and then I think I can end, summarize that one with it. I think I've said what the main things are that the Spirit wants us to learn. Let's read first from 1 Kings chapter 11. The story here, of course, we know it very well. It's when God wanted to remove the kingdom from Solomon. After Solomon had deviated from the way of the Lord, I'll read from verse 9, 1 Kings chapter 11. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you, and I will give it to your servant. My story is from verse 12. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Of course, you can see where I'm going there. Verse 12 says, the timing of my judgment is mitigated by the mercy I have for your father David. The extent of my judgment is mitigated by the relationship I have with your father David. One of my friends told me a story once. I can't give details because I don't have all the facts, but the spirit is very, very clear. He mentioned some names in Nigeria. Names that if I mention now, do you understand? You will remember. You will recognize. All right? Big men, former rulers, captains of industries, gigantic men in the affairs of men. Are you getting my point? And he said something. I read it somewhere. He said, he mentioned a few of them, that it was notable that their fathers were catechists. I don't know what I heard I said. Now, you know what they call a catechist? He's not a very influential man. If he's a Catholic, he's serving the Reverend Father. If he's an Anglican catechist, he's serving the Anglican Reverend. He's not a very important person. He's very, very poorly paid, generally. All right? That's at least do that. I don't know about now. You know, church don't change. Now, he brought an issue here, okay? This was years ago, my friend. He was explaining something to me. But that thing stuck with me. That thing he said. And of course, trust me, the way I hear things, all right, sometimes beyond what the person even said. Something struck me. That what did God do? God took these men who were not rich in their days. Materially, they were not successful. Amongst men, they were not big people. I still remember the catechist in our church, all right, the Catholic church my mom attends when we were children. I still remember him. He was not an example of a successful man at all. But he said, what God did, my friend was explaining, was that he took these men's children, you understand, and blessed them. And what he and I were now discussing was that that was for the sake of their fathers. Now, being a catechist, all right, now may not appear like a big deal. But think about when the father of a man who today is 70, 80 years old was a catechist. Are you getting my point? That was when everybody in the village was worshipping idols. You get what I'm saying? It may not have been big revelation to be a catechist. But the man departed from the worship of idols, stood against the whole village, and began to serve the church. God said, don't worry. I may not be able to do much for you for many reasons, but your children will never be poor. For the sake of my servant David. That day here and I spoke, we analyzed it. You see the man in his days, struggling man, had a bicycle if he could, or didn't have. He was not influential amongst the Igwes and the Obas because he departed from the way of our ancestors. Those blind ancestors that could not invent anything. In case you did not know, the whole of Africa did not build any house beyond that ground floor until white man came. Oh, you never heard it before? All the huts were level zero, architect. All the floors, all the huts were one ground floor. It didn't cross their mind. They were seeing the monkeys climbing the trees. It did not cross their mind. Listen, wisdom is a gift of God. If all these ancestors when I heard our the culture of our fathers, one of the things that irritates me the most. Culture of your fathers. Go to the American and ask for the culture of his father. They were inventing cars, you know, trains, you know. But you know, I have this set of films, The Man Who Built America. When you are hearing dates, he say, hey, our fathers, what were they doing that time? Okonkwo was he sacrificing one child because the gods were demanding the head of a kidnapped little girl. You know, you go and see those men. They were inventing trains. You understand? You see rails crisscrossing the whole of America. J.T. Edison and Nikola Tesla were there in New York, you know, inventing things. And people were doing the culture of our fathers. Said, this scholar does not speak English. Better go and learn. Cola, don't go to school.
The Lord is good.
When Africans gather, I'll just be looking at them and say, oh, foolish Galatians, this is the reason why you're backward. The Lord is good. Anyway, so why in the whole of Africa was he worshipping gods that didn't have ears, that had ears and could not hear? They had legs, they could not walk. They had eyes, they could not see. A few men agreed to depart from that because God showed them a little light. And they followed the religion of the white men. They followed the religion of the missionaries. And they believed in Jesus Christ. And their life didn't seem to have changed so much. But listen, we can explain it naturally. And because of that, their children went to school early. Are you getting my point? But the Bible says by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see were not made out of the things that are visible. That is not the reason. The fact, you can have an explanation for it. The real reason is what I'm talking about. That God poured a blessing upon them. Why? For the sake of my servant David. That's what he was doing. I'm watching my time. What am I trying to emphasize? I'm emphasizing the fact that how you live your life today, the choices we are making, is setting your children up for something later on in life. Some people, your whole village will gather. You can't marry from there. And you simply, because of the knowledge and understanding of obedience to the word of God, you say, I cannot agree with you people. That may be the reason why your son, your daughter will be president one day. Because there is nothing that anyone does for the sake of God, for the sake of his gospel, that he will ever lose from. You must understand, that gain is not always in your lifetime. All the things that Abraham sacrificed in quote for did not happen in his lifetime. Look at the stars, so will your descendants be. How many were there when he died? And look at this. You will be blessed. Who did Abraham bless while he was alive? Who did Isaac bless? They were still quarreling over whose well is this? Whose well is this one? Call this one Esek. We contended for this well. Call this one this one Rehoboth. God has given us peace. Is that how to be a blessing to anybody? You are fighting over where? You know, the world has prospered. The people don't know. If it is now, somebody go first, dig 10 boreholes. All the quarrel over where we stop. What am I going to say? The man was not so blessed as to bless anybody. But the things he sacrificed for, not till today, you and I are enjoying it. Jesus indeed was the blessing that God promised. What am I going to say? The obedience to the word of God you are engaging in today is setting your descendants up for something. It is not possible to obey God and you lose. Because people are often short-sighted, they are thinking about the immediate gain. After I finish, you know, our testimonies are not good. They are too childish. After I showed that shield, by next morning, the doors opened. I began to receive in dollars. I began to receive. You will sow right now so that I can receive tomorrow only. Everybody will start running down to sow. When they come back tomorrow, nothing don't appear. They vex. The pastor lied to us. Yes, he actually lied. I don't blame you. Everybody thinks, I went to preach somewhere the other day. Last Tuesday. No, I left here on time. And two testimonies that was shared where I was impressed. One woman said, this is a very funny testimony, very funny, all right, by Christian contemporary Christianity standards, but actually it was very, very godly. She said they went home for this August meeting thing, and then because of her status, you know, a lot of things they got involved in, they had to give money, that she gave money until she was broke. Now that major thing was coming up, and she had to give money. And she said, God, how can I do it? I said, I don't have money again. Now, this is a very funny testimony. When I finish the testimony, you're going to wonder, where's the testimony now? He said, then Holy Spirit now said to me, give them a positive check. So I now give them a positive check. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he went to sit down. I'm happy you laughed. I'm very happy you laughed. What was the testimony? That the Holy Spirit told her, you can give the money. just give a post-dated check. So she post-dated the check and gave them. And that's how the problem was solved. Praise the Lord. And this elderly woman went and sat down. I said, this is a testimony. I said, this is a testimony. Christians are used to, I shall begin to pour the sheet. Oh, hallelujah. The doors began to open. I gave 1 naira, I got 20 naira. I gave 20 naira, I got 100 naira. Who will give you 500 naira? Right now. No, the woman said the Holy Spirit just ministered to her kid. And you know the interesting part? I said, this, I use it to preach. This is a testimony. Another man was that, he didn't have money. Then suddenly, he just made up his mind. Because it's full gospel. So they have this convention coming up, you know. So that they needed money, he just decided to just give this amount of money. And he just pledged the money. And then when he left, do we understand that? Do you know, and he was trying to explain to them, that do you know that immediately he started getting calls. People said, he said the money, that is God just supplied that money and more quickly. But the emphasis was on, I obeyed God and he made it easy for me to fulfill what I obeyed him concerning. Those are real testimonies. The testimony is on how my faith allowed me or helped me, enabled me, was strong enough to obey God. Because the reward is not always in your generation. The reward for Abraham's obedience was not in his generation. The reward for Isaac's obedience was not in his generation. It came years and years, some of them thousands of years down the line. Listen, don't be small-minded. Don't make only sacrifices that you will get reward for next year, in 2 years' time. No. Many of them, you made a sacrifice. As far as your lifetime is concerned, you have lost. But don't worry. With God, you can never lose. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I say, Isaac may die physically, but the spirit of Isaac is unkillable. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? And that's my message to you. You want your children to be blessed? Observe these things. Don't worry about the money you have not saved up for them. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. Their children can be mighty before God. God is the maker of them all. And that's what I've tried to explain in all these few days we have talked about this. I pray that, look, get the messages. You say, I don't have children yet. I told you, by the time you imbibe these things, the children will rush to come into your house. Say, look at that house, blessing food there. Where are you going to? You are going to that country. I'm going to Nigeria. There's this guy in Nigeria that's been... that will be hearing solid word. Let's go and populate his house and collect something. E.W. Kenyon, I think Smith Wigglesworth, in different ways, he said it. You waited too late. If it is when you needed faith, that you need faith, you now rush to go and get it. You waited too late. What I'm trying to say, it is not when you need these things in your own mind that you rush for them. It is now. I'm not married yet. Grab the material. Feed your spirit with it. It will form how you do things later on in life. And your children will indeed be blessed. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's just bow our heads and just begin to give the Lord thanks. I like that scripture. The poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. So you see, you can obey God and not worry about I need to go and lay up money for my children. No, just obey him. They are blessed already. That obedience to God is a blessing. The obedience to God is a blessing. That your obedience. The children are already blessed. So thank God for it. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have all the tools in my hands to have my children set up mightily on this earth. Declare the word of God that my seed will be mighty on this earth. That is very important. Declare that word. Say it out loud that my seed will be mighty on this earth. Very important. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just give the Lord thanks once again for this word. For today, for this whole series. Like I said, we don't have too much time. We can't do all the praying I wanted us to do. We still have next Tuesday to pray. Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. All right, the Lord is good.